Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast 777 for July 26, 2025. I'm your host, Andy Privateer. Lucky sevens this week.
Jackpot.
Ding, 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 ding.
I got a Twinkie
Jackpot
cat.
Episode.
Look at this. I got a Twinkie cat.
So we actually have not only our regular panel, but we have a special guest this week. So everybody say hi to Mitty.
Hi, Mitty.
Hi, Mitty.
Hi, Mitty.
Who
hi,
are
Mitty.
You?
Oh, wait a minute. Hi, me. Hi. I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm quite honored to be here.
So,
on this prestigious podcast.
Prestigious. Oh, shit. Oh, no. Time to panic. Mitty runs the Community Game Along, which many of you are familiar with, even though you don't know you're familiar with. The Community Game Along is actually what runs JRPG July every year.
Oh, we did that this year.
We do that every year.
We did that this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, JRPG July probably wouldn't be as big as it is without you guys giving it the love and support that it deserves.
Oh, thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. You make JRPG July more fun.
So
when we try.
I actually told Mitty this story, and I think it's fun to sort of pass it along as well. I decided this year that JRPG July wasn't big enough. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to set down three goals. I'm going to reach out to three different people who are all like into RPGs or into the Community Game Along. And surely one of them will say yes to doing some sort of collaborative. And of course, all three of them said yes. And I went, oh no, it's time to panic. So I think I've talked about this before. I did 1 month ago go on the RPG Sites Tetracast podcast. I had a lot of fun there talking about JRPG July and the history of the three sort of pillar RPG centric websites, because it turns out we have so much in common,
like RPGs.
Yeah, no, I mean beyond RPGs.
Oh, okay. All right,
we all started as like fan sites for single games or single series.
Did we all used to be hosted on Squaresoft servers?
No, that is uniquely us. Okay. We are the only right, cool. ones with a major lawsuit in our history.
All right, cool. Great.
Are they all run by gay transferees?
No, but it turns questions. Out all of the sites do have either furries or trans writers, and there's a Venn diagram of furry trans writers.
Okay, good.
Who would have thought?
I think that's what makes us cool.
The internet is run on furries and queers.
Mm-hmm.
Queers and furries, making life better one day at a time.
Excellent. Perfect. We can use none of this for a show title.
Sure. It's going in there anyway.
Yeah!
All right. And of course, we have our regular panelists here. Hello, Chris Privateer.
Hi. I've got a cat.
I suppose that's also my spouse.
Yeah.
Love you, baby.
I love you, too.
Aww.
Aww.
I also love Kelly Ryan, here. Though, because I am an equal opportunity lover.
That's
the wrong word.
Hey, wait, I didn't agree to this.
I am equally diverse with my affection. No.
And you're fired.
Listen, this is my shovel. I'm going to continue digging with it.
Mm-hmm.
Lesson three to Josh Carpenter as well. Who can't be left out of this love fest.
It's all mutual.
I swear I slept last night.
I don't believe you.
It's going to be a loopy cat.
There you go. There's our title. Thanks for the show, everybody. See you next week.
Goodbye. Good night, everybody.
It is JRPG July, and wouldn't you know it, we, except for Chris, have been playing JRPGs.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank Kelly for my current obsession.
No problem.
Of you who have been reading the weekly JRPG July updates know this, but I've been playing Pharmagia. Pharmagia is developed by Marvelous, one of their internal teams, and I was a little bit hesitant going into it because I feel like this is the same people that made Loop 8 and I hated that game.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
And really my like core complaint about Loop 8 is it tries to do a bunch of things and does none of them well. And Pharmacia is literally the exact opposite. There is nothing innovative about this game. It basically plays like an episodic dungeon crawling anime. So you get introduced to the characters. You are going to farm up monsters. You are then going to dive into the dungeons to beat up monsters with your monsters and get monster seeds and then go back to town and plant those seeds. So it has a really tight, like excellently refined gameplay loop. You spend 15 to 20 minutes in a dungeon. Then you go back to town, you maintain your farm, you train your monsters, you build up social relationships with the elemental, like, their shrine maidens. Yeah,
yeah, something like that.
The elemental ladies. You progress the plot if it's time to do that. You do a little bit of crafting in terms of, like, things to use on your farm or things to use to train your monsters. And then you head back into the dungeon. And so the gameplay loop, very tight. You can do an in-game day in about 30 to 45 minutes. And it's great. Nothing is innovative, but everything you do is super well polished, even if it isn't necessarily interesting. And so you sort of have this weird dichotomy of... the dungeon layouts and the dungeon visuals are extremely boring. They are repetitive. There is no sort of interesting landmarks. They're nicely colored. They're well done. They're well designed and they're boring. But the combat is really interesting. So all of your monsters sort of fall into one of four categories. So you have short range attackers, long range attackers, buffers and debuffers. They're not actually called buffing and debuffing. They just have dumb names. Formation monsters. What does that mean? They're debuffers. And so you have to decide out of 40 monsters how many of each of those categories that you're going to have. And as you progress through the game, you also get color variants of each of those monsters that have... like substats that are slightly better. So there's this concept of KO attack. All of the monsters in the dungeons have shield bars, essentially. That's their KO bar. If you push that down to empty, you can then do a much stronger attack against them. There's also dodging and guarding, and those can also break down the shields that monsters have. So you might have a monster like there's a wolf called Fang, and out of the Fang variants, one has really high defense and stamina, so it's less likely to get knocked out. But one of the other variants has very high KO attack, so it's probably going to get knocked out by monsters more frequently, but it can also hit very, very hard and take down those shields fast. Mm-hmm. I actually keep the Fang monster that has really high KO attack in my party because I can walk up to some of the most heavily armored monsters like turtles and do one power attack against them with my fangs and it completely drains out their shield. It's fantastic. So I'm 90% of the way done the game. They kind of do one of those fake out endings at about 25 hours in. So you feel like everything in the story has wrapped up and you're sort of going to the various locations around town, thanking everybody for their help in making the world safer. And then plot twist, angels and gods and
Evangelion?
Kind of. Not with giant robots, but...
And prophetic dreams, and no one is who you think they are. And, oh, by the way, we're not orphans. And
hey,
there's just so much
what
happening.
What is this, Final Fantasy VIII now? Come on.
Not quite, but same. Good vibes.
It's just, It's just funny how quickly the game turns from we're trying to liberate the world to now we've got to go kill God.
Attack and dethrone God, everybody.
It sounds like a JRPG to me.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, God was already attacked.
Oh.
Or so we thought.
And now we're dealing with the consequences of that.
Mm. Hey, let's not spoil too much.
That's not a spoiler.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
So the main antagonist is the consequences of your actions.
Yes.
Oh boy.
But the plot is actually really well paced and interesting in that this is the kind of game that if it took itself seriously, like if the plot was only very like straightforward and straight shooting, it would be really boring and not be that interesting. But the plot actually does a great job of like intermingling moments of levity. And it does just like a great job of pacing those out. So you never feel like everything around you is being ridiculous. You just have the moments of la 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 la. And then you get back to like the real story. One of the bosses that you fight early in the game attempts to mind control your entire party. And she only successfully grabs one of them. But she decides that the guy that she does mind control is being so extra that she actually doesn't want him as a minion and like lets her mind control go off of him. It's called
a very interesting game. You are really it's called the, on this right now.
It's called the incompetent father defense.
So we were talking pre-show. You see what I mean about how I think this was the lost DS game that they did.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Like I was kind of vibing. It sort of felt like there was a Lord of Something game that had very similar concepts to this.
I'm adding it to my wish list right now.
It got very cheap very quick too. So
yeah, like I picked up the day one edition for $19.99 on an Amazon flash sale.
But Lord of
Magna Maiden Heaven,
yeah,
is what I'm thinking of, and that was also developed by Marvelous. So I feel like there is a fair amount of parallels where you have sort of like monster groups that you take out into a dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's the kind of game that it's not bad. It's not amazing, but it's fun. And that's what makes it great for me.
Well, and it's like
games need to be fun.
Yeah, 100%.
Need to be perfect. It doesn't need to be fantastic. They just need to be fun.
Yeah.
Even if it is a little janky.
Like my one complaint about it was the dungeon design, because if it just seemed like they could have made them a little bit more elaborate and given them a little bit more variety instead of just the same green place over and over again.
Yep. That is like the one place where the game 100% falls down. It's bad.
If you can get past that, you'll have fun.
Well, I had to get past Dragon Age 2's repetitive dungeon layout, so I think this would be easy for me.
Fair point. All right.
If I were to try it.
That's all I've been doing this week, other than watching a lot of Twitch. So, Kelly, tell me about your MMO shenanigans, please.
Well, I am very close to being level 75, a level 75 Dark Knight / Red Mage in Final Fantasy XI on a private server.
Nice.
I actually got my artifact armor all pieced together, which was something that I wanted to do like way back in 2006, but never got far enough in the game. And I'm trying to hit the, because this particular private server only goes to 75.
Most of them only go to 75. I did some research this week, Kelly. You almost got me playing again. It was dangerous.
I do kind of need help with some stuff, which is why I was leveling.
Kelly, do you know, I was about to click download, and I'm looking through like the two big servers that are recommended to people in Reddit for this stuff, and that would be FF Era and Cat's Eye, though Horizon I know is also or at least used to be popular. So I'm looking at their wiki pages, looking at how they modify the client, what plugins are allowed. And then I remembered everything I used to do to modify plugins in that game to make the game playable. And I remembered everything about doing that game. And then I remembered all the frickin' supply delivery quests for the outposts and the all the rank up mission. Kelly, I can't do it again. I can't. I did those things. I pushed through those things. I'm my first character being like, I will never have to repeat this for this character ever again. I will never have to do this again in this game. And now I'm sitting here looking at it like, oh, what if I did all that stuff again that I only pushed through by believing I would never have to repeat it in my life? Kelly, this is how do you do this? How I can't.
I mean, Cat, the reason why I picked Cat's Eye is because it has the accelerated experience.
Yeah.
And I like on your first character that you have to still have to do all that stuff, but it's not nearly as, apparently it's not nearly as tedious. I never did any of that my first time around. I only got to like level 15 and then got scared of having to group. And
you never had to group up with people who had to do what we called tractor pulls going across a zone, which is where your character would get killed and the black mage would call cast tractor on your corpse to bring them closer where they are, then move to the edge of the range to cast the spell and basically keep dragging your corpse through the zone because it's going to be the only way to get you through it.
Yeah, I know. I did something like that once and it took all night and yeah. Never again.
Okay.
And I appreciate that in not only this accelerated version that leveling is easier, but also I can just summon my posse, aka trusts, and do everything. Though for some, did you ever do any of the Rhapsodies of Vanadil?
Yeah.
For some reason, in this private server, they won't let you use trusts on one particular boss fight. And I don't know why, and I did have to get some people to help me with that one.
Do you remember which fight it is?
It was a snowy zone, and you click on a portal, and a giant monkey spawns.
Monkey, monkey, monkey.
I should be able to remember what that is, but yeah, I don't remember.
Oh, I can't remember the exact mission name, but like if you just say, hey, I need help with monkey in the link shell, because it automatically puts you in the Cat's Eye link shell when you make a character. Everybody knows exactly what you're talking about.
Monkey.
Yeah. And for some reason, you can't use trusts on that one, that fight, and I don't know why. It even says in the Cat's Eye Wiki, trust not allowed, gather some friends.
I mean, that used to be the way it was in retail as well, and I don't know about that fight in particular, but like pretty much everything has been over time switched to allow trusts, so I wonder if it's a technical issue, because they don't have, that's the other thing, these fan servers don't have all the current content. They have most of it.
Yeah. Like this one doesn't have the last one, which I think is Seekers of Aduin.
Mm-hmm.
And the level cap is only up to 75. So,
which is weird because Seekers of Aduin, I think, came out before the Rhapsodies of Vanadil. But yeah. Rhapsodies has all like the quality of life improvements, I think. So. Well, whatever.
The Rhapsodies of Vanadil mission I was stuck on was called the Lion's Roar.
Okay.
I'm
looking it up. Oh, that's early. It's a popped NM. All right.
Yeah. And then the one that I'm kind of stuck on now that like retail guide says you have to be 80 to beat is Siren. So I figured I would get to level 75 first and then try to take it on again and then see how I do, and if not, I'm probably going to have to go in the link shell, like, hey, I need help with Siren.
It's interesting. I did check the main FF11 wikis, and that fight is usable with trusts on retail.
Yeah, so I don't know why they nerfed that in the private server.
We're talking about a bunch of masochists who want to play Final Fantasy 11 at a 75 level cap. No?
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
You're like, get me level 99 already. Come on.
But I don't feel like starting over on retail.
Yeah. That's fair. It will take longer on retail.
Yeah. Yeah. Dang it, I had another point to make and now I'm blanking.
You are getting siren help, maybe, potentially?
Yeah. Because I think once you have that, you get the ability to summon a fifth trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be nice. Yeah, I'm completely blanking on the point that I was trying to make. I'm happy that I am able to do a bunch of stuff that I was not able to do in 2006, like ride the airship once, because the teleports and stuff make it completely useless. And yeah.
And now you know why I stopped talking about Final Fantasy XI all those years ago, because the... Oh, go ahead.
That was the other point I was going to make. You said that you thought that plugins, or that doing plugins and add-ons and stuff was a pain?
No, I think the fact that you have to use plugins and add-ons to make the user interface palatable was a pain. And it's like, why don't I just play a game that's better designed and modern?
Because Cat's Eye comes with a bunch of built-in mods that you can toggle on and off.
Mm-hmm.
To make your experience a little bit better. Like, I've got the mod that, or I didn't realize that there was one that told me what skills do you use to trigger skill chains.
Nice.
And that one is handy. And I have the checker mod installed that actually says what level mobs are instead of just, it looks tough. and some various UI ones, and the nice thing is that you can toggle those on and off. I didn't realize that the Better Maps mod was on default, because the game was having problems Wednesday night, and I played it has somehow turned off all of my mods, and I was like, oh god, the default maps in this suck.
Mm-hmm. They really do.
But yeah, once I ding 75, I'm going to go try to take on Siren again. And if not, I just am going to work on the Windurst missions, because I'm rank 6 right now. So about halfway through those, I took on the Shadow Lord. That was an epic fight. And then later on got cutscenes from the Rhapsodies stuff that like completely retconned it.
Yep.
So you've been having a 2-for-1 special on classic MMO stuff.
Yeah, so Miss Classic finally launched this week. And I found out that they had a similar promotion like this with Wrath Classic, where if you go do the Pandaria starting zone, you can you get a mount in retail that's a green version of the Elegon mount, the kind of starry cloud serpent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that Monday night, and I was like, my God, I missed so much. It was so beautiful and so fun. And I felt like the game was kind of perfection at that point before they ruined it in Draenor. Just running through that Pandaria starting zone brought back so many memories.
I've been through that starting zone a lot, even with you guys. Like, it's just, man... I don't know that I want to do it again.
Well, I think that the mount is only available until the 30th. So you've got kind of a narrow window, but I wanted
I'm
to
good.
Bring it up.
I'm good. Like, I don't need more WoW mounts.
Yeah. But I did want to bring it up on the show for anybody that, you know, wanted to participate, because that one zone, I mean, all of Pandaria was cool, but the Pandaren starting zone in particular takes place on the back of a giant turtle. And should I spoil what happens?
I'm curious now.
Sure.
I'm not invested in Final Fantasy XI.
No, well, this is WoW now.
I'm curious about turtles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turtle ride.
You get on a balloon and you go talk to the turtle, and the turtle says that he's got a thorn in his side. And the thorn turns out to be a crashed airship that's embedded in it.
A goblin airship, no less.
Yeah, and you have to blow up the airship to get it out of him. And for some reason, the girl panda that's with you, like, gets mad at you because of it. And I never understood why. It's like, lady, you've got to like take the thorn out before you heal the wound. I don't know what else you expected here. And magic. Also and at the time, this was kind of a revolutionary quest because pandas start out neutral and you choose your faction at the end of the quest line.
Mm-hmm.
And they took that out of the game later on, that you just start out Horde or Alliance. So I wonder if Double Agent's going to roll a classic character and start over. Because there was a really famous panda named Double Agent that always leveled the level cap just by picking herbs. Faction. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the guy that didn't want to pick a faction.
Yeah.
So.
And it was always a new story like, oh, Double Agent is level 120. And it's like the poor dude, because he doesn't have access to a mailbox, so he can't do anything with those herbs. Probably just has to vendor him or delete him. Probably takes him forever because they're worth like one experience at that level. But yeah, Double Agent is nothing if not dedicated. So,
speaking of if nothing if not dedicated, Josh. Why are you fighting with Saturn emulators again?
you know, it's one of those things I had always heard about, like Saturn emulation. It's terrible. You know,
it's fine, it doesn't work now.
Very well. It's not fine now.
Oh.
Chris, you sweet summer child.
I've done Saturn. Okay, this was 20 years ago at this point, wasn't it? 10 years ago. Never mind. Maybe it got worse.
I mean, I did Saturn emulation to play Shining Force 3 on my Steam Deck and mostly didn't have any problems.
Yeah.
But I also had to save state a lot because the game kept freezing.
I was doing the first disc of Panzer Dragoon Saga and it went okay. But I didn't finish. Well, so.
Admittedly, I'm trying to play Sakura Wars 2. So I'm playing a fan-patched ISO.
Oh.
So that doesn't help stability. For sure. Mm. Mm-hmm. So you know, I started out the month, like I went through, I don't know, three or four different Mac emulators and finally found one that seemed to kind of
work. You're
on
the Mac.
Yeah,
everything makes sense.
Well, that's
now.
Where I started.
Uh-huh.
It keeps going, Chris. It keeps going. So I started there, went through like three or four, found one I thought that works, get about to the second chapter in the game, and just start hitting freezing issues.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, and so then it's like a week where I'm like trying to like diagnose, like trying to dig through archives, you know, dig around the web. And of course, there's almost nothing about Saturn emulation. You're getting like 14-year-old, you know, Reddit threads on, you know, issues.
The same threads I probably read.
Probably.
But they were more current at the time.
So I'm like trying to figure it out. And eventually it just like, okay, like this, you know, it's just not going to work on a Mac. I'm, you know, swap back to PC. And so I have to start the whole process over again. It's like, well, now I need to find a PC emulator that works with this ISO. And I mean, it was just crazy how like, so one of the main ones, the one I ended up using, like that people were recommending, like, oh yeah, this is the best emulator on PC. So I'm like, I go, you know, like run the executable and it just like flashes up something and then closes down and gives this error message. And I'm like, what the hell is this error message? Go search it. And it's like, oh no, this thing has no graphical interface. You have to use command. You have to bring up command prompt. Oof.
Oh, that's great.
Run the executable and then tell it what file to run. I'm like, oh my gosh, I am like back in the 80s, you know, in DOS.
This is my life. I'm doing stuff on the command line in Linux all day at my job. I'm like, welcome to the real computing. Come on. Join us.
For those who are unaware, Chris is what's called a Kubernetes engineer.
Sure I am.
And if you want to know what Kubernetes is, there's actually a great children's book that explains it to you.
True. There is.
Even I understood it after that.
Yeah, and you could give a great explanation to other people right now, couldn't you?
No.
Uh-huh. My real question, Josh, is why didn't you just do it on the Steam Deck?
I didn't want to go through. Well, actually, I used it was one of the ones. Isn't it RetroArch? That's one of the main ones that works. Like, yeah, it wouldn't work with RetroArch even on PC.
Mm. Oh.
So I really don't think it would have worked.
This on ISO
Steam.
Has
it's one of those builds.
You're using RetroArch?
No, I tried RetroArch. I ended up on, what is it, Mednafin?
Okay.
That's the like command line one.
Because I've played a few Saturn games and from beginning to end using. Well, oh wait, actually, am I allowed to say the names of emulators or no?
Yes.
Okay, so I use RetroArch and I use the Beetle Saturn core on mine, and I've had little to no issues with Saturn emulation.
It sounds like this build is extra spicy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a game that probably will give problems with, with the emulation anyway, because it does have a lot of like fully video anime cutscenes, which sometimes like those sorts of weird compressed things kind of give problems to emulators.
Mm-hmm. True.
And then on top of it, it's just like, oh, you know, it's also been hacked to with an English translation, you know, fan translation. So I'm guessing the combination kind of makes it extra messy.
It can. One of the games I did play off it was the Saturn version of Mega Man 8. And yeah, the cutscenes were a little compressed video wise, but otherwise it did not stop the game or crash it.
I was today years old when I learned that there's a Saturn version of Mega Man 8.
There is a Saturn version of Mega Man 8.
I was Wednesday years old when I learned that there was a Saturn version of the original Suikoden.
What?
Yeah. In doing research for the backtrack, I was like, wait, really? Obviously, we didn't get it in the US. And then somebody on the backtrack informed me, yeah, that port is shit.
Ah! Give mystery to everybody why we didn't get it.
Yeah. Well, plus, at some point, that was Bernie Stolar time. So no RPGs, nothing too Japanese.
Right. Can't be too Japanese.
Nope.
On our right, Japanese console.
Now that we're done troubleshooting Josh's emulation, do you like the game?
I love the game. That thing, like Chris, you've been playing Anime Horse Game. Do you have nostalgia for like 90s harem anime?
Nostalgia is the wrong word. I always felt like Tenchi Muyo was like an okay beginning and concept and characters, and then it never went anywhere. And it was the more you watch, the worse it got, because it was like, this is never going to do anything. Tam is shouting in the chat about, do you want to talk about harem anime?
No. Abort.
Cinnamon Tam.
Anime harem cast. That's what it is now.
Listen, we do not need a 6-hour RPG cast.
So at the time, Josh, what I had was jealousy of like all these supposedly good anime games that Japan got that we never got. And I'm trying now that that fan patches exist for these sorts of things, and I've played certain versions of this and certain modern ones. I would say like Persona's kind of a modern sort of thing with this. I don't know if they're as good as I thought they were in my head back in the day.
There is really nothing like Lips.
Yeah.
Like, no one has attempted to replicate that.
No one knows what that is. That's the name of the interaction system in the Sakura War games, at least the original ones.
So Sakura Wars uses, it's kind of like a visual novel. It's got some dating sim aspects. But the lip system itself, you know, usually if you're playing a visual novel, you know, like you read lots of text and then you get to a choice and you got to pick between, you know, 2 to 4 different options. And you just kind of sit there and do it. Right. You know, you can sit there for however long you want. The lip system like will restrict your amount of time. Like, so some of the responses, like, they'll judge you on how long you take to do it. You'll only have a limited amount of time to do
it. Which is real great when you're trying to read a fan translation document and then make your choice.
Yeah.
That is how I played the first Sakura Wars. I played it on PSP with a translation. It was in Japanese.
And there's no pause button. So, like, you have to pre-read the translation, at which point it's like, what am I playing the game at that point? It just doesn't. doesn't work as a fan translation thing.
I was
thing.
Able to make it work with the PSP because I could put it to sleep. It's like, good. Oh, here's all a right. decision. Put it to sleep.
Nice.
Read what I need to say. And then, okay, I can go back in and make a decision real quick.
Oh, that's good.
Mistiana and I were trying to play a Sakura Wars game when I first visited her in like 2001. And yeah, no, it was exactly the way that you describe it, Chris. It went. Yeah.
Does not work well, but it makes the visual novel experience like way more engaging because you really have to pay attention to what's going on. You cannot just be kind of like zoning out because then a decision comes up and it's like, oh crap. Yeah. I got to pick something. Got to do it quick. They'll even like, there are certain times when like the right answer is even doing nothing.
That's what happened to Paws and I when we played Infinite Wealth and we did the drink links.
We're going to get to we that next.
Skipping half the dialogue and just guessing what the responses were going to be.
And thankfully this game, like, this was actually like a fairly big budget game for Sega back then. I mean, they put a lot of money and effort into it, quite honestly. So it holds up. It still looks fairly good. And, you know, like there's certainly the strategy RPG sections are, you know, like, the, you know, it was a Saturn game. They're a little old and pixelated, but the actual visual novel sections and then they have, you know, they're punctuated with fully animated cutscenes every so often that really kind of make it feel like a much bigger budget game.
And I find that it makes it feel like a lived world.
Very much so. Like this game, they put a lot of effort and thought into their alternate version of Taisho era Japan. You know, this kind of like wonderful fictional world where World War II never happens and the world kind of like bonds together to fight against demons. You have your multicultural.
Not another friendship speech.
Oh, God. Always a friendship speech, Andy. Always. It's always the power of friendship. You know what this. It's always the power of friendship that defeats evil.
What if the power of friendship that defeats evil were the friends that we made along the way? I don't know.
That feels like Sakura Wars logic is the scary part.
Very much so. It's just such a, it is a absolutely ludicrous game, you know, like the setup, you know, like, of course, you're fighting demons, but you have to stay undercover as a, you know, running a theater and putting on performances during the daytime. And, you know, like whenever you have to go out and fight battles, the theater transforms into a cannon
to shoot you out.
Yes. And then you have an airship that comes out, you know, like you're like, yeah, they're really undercover, but you know,
subtle like hammer.
As I recall, the most recent one, it's even less subtle, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like there's a whole worldwide tournament and stuff with every.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
I love how we went from super secret organization to let's have a tournament. Surely no one will guess that there's more going on under the cover of this. Oh my gosh. All right. Midi.
Yes.
I came and visited your channel this week.
You did.
And you took me to Hawaii.
Yeah, it's the first time I collabed with a celebrity. It was great.
Yes, I'm very infamous.
Sure you are.
Hey, I have an official fan club.
It's just our friend.
Shut up.
I should have gotten your autograph when I was in Hawaii.
All right.
But yes, we were in Hawaii earlier this week through Infinite Wealth, if that's what you were segueing into.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry I couldn't get you an online date, but at least we got armpit pictures. But we did have fun with karaoke, and we got to make a pachinko place on Dondoko Island, which was fun.
Yeah, so it was neat. Like, I'm interested in playing Infinite Wealth, and I was kind of curious about less the plot, because you don't play Yakuza games for the main plot. You play it for literally anything else.
And the plot for Infinite Wealth did not live up to how amazing the plot for Seven or OG Like a Dragon was. in my personal opinion, maybe some people like the plot to Infinite Wealth, but I like the main games way more.
Yep. So yeah, I wanted to see all of the things that weren't the main plot. So we spent a couple of hours just like having a bop in the Infinite Wealth world.
Yes, it was fun.
That is a game you can totally lose yourself in doing all the side content.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we did Crazy DoorDash too.
Oh yes,
I love Crazy DoorDash.
Bikes that go straight up buildings.
Yeah.
That's the song.
That's him all I know up, about
it. Him going up that building is straight out of a Sonic level. Even the spring thing that he jumps on looks like it's out of a Sonic game.
Yeah, Ichi got to go fast to get those burgers delivered.
Well, that was fantastic. But what else have you been playing this week?
Well, in between the games that I play and record for my channels, I played the... Well, speaking of mobile gacha, I play another Eden on my commute to work and back. And I started doing that in March, I think. And it has been fun. I actually learned about another Eden while working on my video essay series, Silver Age. I did an episode on Chrono Cross. And in my research, I learned about this game that Masato Kato worked on. So after I finished that episode, I thought, okay, I'll try it. And a couple months later, I have to play it every day.
That's awesome. It sounds like it's had good legs for you, because I feel like most people give up on a gacha game within a couple of months.
The thing I like about this is you don't really need the gacha elements to progress through the main story. I mean, there are a few gacha elements that you need to do to break some of the level caps, but those are far and few and in between. And last month, I think I happened to pull a 5-star ally that even on the highest difficulties will one shot all enemies, including bosses. So that has helped me immensely get through the stories and the side quests and all the crossovers and all literally everything that Another Eden has added over the years.
That sounds awesome. I appreciate gacha games that don't require me to pull out my wallet.
Nah, it doesn't. The main story gives you free characters, and there are some that really help you out, that help you get through some of the obstacles and the challenges. Isn't just references to Chrono Cross. There are also references to Chrono Trigger. There is a literal end of time area in the game.
Nice.
That looks like the end of time.
And
there is an enemy that you fight in the end of time area in a little chamber that looks exactly like the one Specchio uses when you challenge them.
Okay, I definitely need to. I've had this downloaded on my iPad forever, and I've just never pulled the trigger on it. I think when I was sort of really considering jumping into it was when Sword of Convolaria came out, and I decided to try that. And I got really heavy into that, but it does have the problem of if you truly want to progress in that game, you need to pull out the wallet. And so I kind of just got tired of it after a point, because I didn't really feel the need to spend a ton of money on it. And if you're not willing to spend a ton of money on it, it's really hard to play it.
Well, the game, it gives you in-game achievements that reward you points that could go towards recruiting characters.
Ooh.
And also recruiting passes that let you go do these alternate dungeons that give you extra fancy loots. And the ads, they're not intrusive at all, but they do ask, hey, you want more points here? Why don't you watch this ad? So okay. The game forces you to pay for is some of the limited time character pools that only accept paid Chronostones, which is the currency for all the in-game gacha stuff.
Gotcha. Well, literally gotcha. In this case. All right. So you mentioned your channel, and I want you to talk a little bit more about your gauntlet, and then tell us about the community game along in general, because I know it was started by Apricot Sushi and Geek to Geek Media is involved, and you run it now, but I don't have a good like timeline of how that all came about.
Mm. Well, how much time do you guys have?
Do we get the cliff notes?
It shouldn't take that long of a story. Maybe I'll start with the Gauntlet one because that will be the quickest.
For sure.
I could do that one in a little bit. So Gauntlet is my long play / playthrough series where I pick a game each month. And basically the premise is to just archive my personal experiences with the game. My focus is not, oh, look at me play this game. It's me not wanting to forget how I felt about certain events. The last game that I uploaded and finished for the Gauntlet series was Kudelka for JRPG July. Aesthetically, that game is great, and I am impressed with all the technical stuff that went into the game, but the gameplay itself was just not balanced enough for me, and I had to tap out near the end of Disc 3.
Ooh.
Was that the spiritual prequel to the Shadow Heart series?
Yes, it is like Shadow Heart 0.5.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, made and composed by Hiroki Kikuta, who some of you might know for the Seiken Densetsu games, the music for those.
Oh, the Mana series. Composer, yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yes. And every now and then I will stream a long play of one of my Gauntlet games on Twitch. The last one I did was The Sexy Brutale, which I will upload next month for the next community game along theme, which I'll talk about in a little bit.
You still need to play that, Andy.
I finished it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, no,
okay.
I finished it. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That was an unexpected ending.
Yes, the ending was so unexpected. Without context, I'll just say it made me think of Frisky Dingo. Harumph. But the community game along actually started in 2014, and it started when Anne Apricot was talking with Kimimi of Kimimi the Game Eating She Monster. They were talking about, oh, you know what's underappreciated? Falcom games. You know what we should do? We should devote a month to playing Falcom games. And that's how the community game along got started. January 2014, a whole theme devoted to Falcom games.
And then Josh, did you know that?
There.
No.
That's cool.
And I'm looking at all the themes over the years, and JRPG July has been the only one that's been consistent since 2014. All the other themes have changed or rotated, but every single July has been JRPG July.
Excellent.
Every single one of them. And it has been her, Apricot, running the community game along, deciding all the themes with some input from the Chic Pixel community. But then near the end of 2019, real life caught up to her. Just a second. I needed to sit. So she went on the Chic Pixel Discord and I was like, yeah, would anybody be interested in running the community game along? Because things are a little too busy for me. And I went, oh, me. I love the concept of the community game along. I love the idea of each theme making you think or challenging you to a different type of game, one that you would normally not play, making you think out of your comfort zone, clearing your backlog. It was a very fascinating concept, and I wanted to support it as best as I could. but I didn't want to do it by myself. So I recruited Capsule J of Geek to Geek Media, who's been my second opinion, second in command since then, still is. And I've been running it, hosting it since the 2020 community game along, and it has been fun. It has been fun seeing people come together for different themes, and it's been fun seeing people get introduced to the community game along, some of which were like, oh, I've never heard of a JRPG July before. It's been fun seeing those reactions.
I think it's so interesting that I actually got into your content not realizing that you and Capsule J were friends. So I had like watched some of your long form content because, surprise, surprise, I like RPGs and you do a lot of long form content like RPGs. And then I started watching Capsule J 1 year when he was streaming for JRPG July. And I had no idea that the two of you knew each other.
Yeah, I think we met either 2018 or 2019. I can't remember, but he was streaming Demon's Crest for Horror Game October, and ooh, that's spoopies. One of my favorite platformers, and I just stuck with it, and we've been mutuals ever since.
Nice. So, I know, obviously, we're the most interested in JRPG July, but for everyone who's listening, what other themes are coming for the rest of 2025?
Next month is going to be our newest theme to the community game along, which will be detective games / mystery games. Pick a game where you're a detective, or pick a game that forces you to solve a very elaborate mystery.
So I'm playing the newest AI, the Somnium Files, next month is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think I saw someone else doing that one, and that theme was suggested by friend of the community game along, Jewelry Jelly. Every year we do a survey, and that's how we figure out what the themes are. And one of the things I asked is, hey, you got any suggestions for new themes? And people really like the detective mystery idea, which Jewelry Jelly gave us.
Nice.
So that's next month.
And you always do horror games for October of some degree, right?
Yes, we always do horror games in October, and we also do shmups every September, shmuptember. And that was one that Capsule suggested. We didn't do that while Apricot was running it every month, but then Capsule was like, hey, we should do shmups in September. And that has been almost as big as JRPG July.
Yay!
If not ever so slightly bigger. Those shmup fans are very dedicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I have a curse where I love shmups, but I suck at them.
Same here.
Same as Chris.
Shmup people have to learn how Saturn emulators work.
Oh, and no, we're going backwards.
I'm prepared now, huh?
Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking of streaming some Saturn shmups September.
Nice. All right. And then October is spoopy.
Yeah. And then November, another regular for us. Visual novel November.
Yes.
And then December, music games.
Music games. Has that been a category before?
Yes, it has. Okay. It's been one of those that rotates.
Gotcha.
But what we do, how we choose the themes, is determined by the annual surveys, end of the year surveys. So in October, you should look out for this survey, because that's when I start putting it out to give people more time to prepare for January's theme.
And so people can follow you on Blue Sky, right?
I'm sorry, you cut out. What was that?
People can follow you on Blue Sky, correct? That's your main platform now?
Blue Sky can follow me on YouTube. I occasionally post it, you know, post there, not just videos. And I'm also on Mastodon.
Ooh, fancy man.
And that's all. That's where I'm at. I'm nowhere else.
Perfect. All right.
Oh, and Twitch.
Oh, yes, of course. And your community game along on Blue Sky, and then your MDisc playlist everywhere else?
MDisc playlist everywhere else, yes.
Perfect. All right. We're going to circle back around to the community game along, but we have some feedback to go over for this week.
Okay.
So we asked last week, what game are you looking forward to in the second half of 2025? So, Mitty, hit us. What's your top RPG for the second half of 2025?
Number one, the Final Fantasy Tactics re-release.
I'm so excited. Someone that
absolutely loves Final Fantasy Tactics. I cannot wait for this release. Wonder Stars, which is more like a turn-based RPG with 90s anime aesthetic elements, and the attacks you use are adjectives and adverbs that you use to call out your attacks. I played a demo of it last month, and I had a lot of fun with it.
I've never heard of this, and it sounds very relevant to my interests.
I mean, if you like 90s anime,
it looks
and plays like a 90s anime. It's supposed to come out September 19th.
Okay. You and I are going to talk on Discord after the show about this game.
Sure.
All right. We also had people write in. To the surprise of no one, Strawberry Egg says, I, too, am most looking forward to Pokemon Legends Z2A. It almost makes me want to get a Switch too early with how good the latest Pokemon Presents made it look. I imagine I can always upgrade later once I do get the system, though. Well, they're not willing to commit to the fact that there is an upgrade path for the Switch 1 to Switch 2 version of Pokemon Z2A. So you may need to reconsider your early Switch 2 purchase, Barry.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to ZA as well, but I haven't played Arceus, and I feel like I should play that one first.
I'm not sure that you have to.
Yeah.
How big of a Pokemon fan are you?
Well, let me just say, Pokemon helped me become a teacher.
Okay.
So I'm a big fan. I've been playing it since Red and Blue. Yay. I love it. But I've found myself skipping some of the games due to reasons.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I think you would like Arceus if you're a big Pokemon fan then.
I'm almost confident that I would like Arceus. I just never got around to playing it or getting it.
Well, chop chop.
But now, man, I have to choose between Arceus and ZA.
I would say play Arceus first. It feels to me like one of those games where the mechanics are going to get refined enough that it's going to feel really awkward playing them backwards. Mm. Does that make sense when I say it that way?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
But ZA, I am interested in all that. And as someone that played XY, I am very curious as to the role that AZ will play in all this.
Well, it takes place after X and Y, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, did I hallucinate this? No. I swear it was a sequel.
Yeah, all for right. Those of you that played XY and know what happens to AZ at the end, you should understand why I'm so curious about AC's part of it.
There is definitely questions to be had for this game, and I really hope that they address them and don't just kind of like blow them off. Because there's stuff that
it's
happens.
It's a Pokemon game. Stop getting your hopes up.
Listen, well, there's stuff that happens in the anime too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Phil Fancy Pants says, I'm looking forward to the Final Fantasy Tactics remaster. I've never played it, and I've been very nostalgic for late 90s and early 2000s this year. Also, the new Digimon game looks like it could be pretty good. The thing that I'm admiring about the new Digimon game isn't like the gameplay. It isn't the like Digimon like variety or anything like that. I'm admiring that they are marketing this game correctly.
Learned their lesson from what was it? Time?
Yeah. Like,
I'm blanking
the
on the
previous
name of that game
Digimon
now.
Game was great, but we didn't understand what it was gonna be. Gamer Esquire says Final Fantasy Tactics remake and Chained Echoes DLC are the top of my list for a second half release.
I'm sorry, Chained Echoes is getting DLC?
It is.
Oh my god, finally! I played that game last year for JRPG July. That game is great, that game is fantastic, but too many things were not answered at the end, and that really frustrated me.
Ooh.
So, knowing that they're finally doing DLC, I'm excited because I hope they answer and fill some of those plot holes.
Yep. Gamer Esquire says he's going to respectfully disagree with Tam's take on Chained Echoes. It was a masterpiece. He also says
it was a masterpiece up until the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. And like, bad endings can really spoil a game. Mm. I know there are some people that are pretty salty about Chained Echoes, the way that it ends.
I thought it was fine. To be honest, I'm kind of blanking on the ending, but I had so much fun playing the game itself that I didn't really care.
I'm going to say no spoilers for the ending because I feel like there's a bunch of people that are going to get motivated to play it because the DLC is coming.
You should still play it. It's still a great game.
I feel like it gave me Suikoden vibes, especially towards the end.
That's interesting.
Yeah, pause. I'll send you the video and timestamp the moment where the game for me went 5 stars to 4 stars.
Oh, this is going to be good. All right.
Yeah, it was my main JRPG July game last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people played it last year. I feel like I saw a lot of posts about it. All right. Gamer Esquire also says he's somewhat disappointed by the omission of the War of the Lions content from the Tactics remake, but is still an amazing game that is sure to find a new audience on modern consoles.
Tactics needs a new audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like Tactics Ogre sort of opened up
A new audience. What do you mean the omission of the War of the Lions content?
They had like a couple of extra characters, Cloud and leading man Balthier.
Yeah.
And just
Cloud is in the
Cloud's
game.
In the new one because he was in the first one. He was in the original release.
It was the Final Fantasy Tactics Advance 2 main character.
Oh, well, screw that person.
What?
All the advanced games are garbage.
Divorce.
I'm not even married and I want a divorce. I put 200 hours into Tactics Advance.
I have replayed Tactics Advance 2 multiple times.
Yeah,
Tactics
have bad taste.
And I married you.
Yeah, exactly. I rest my case.
And it still has the War of the Lions translation, at least.
Yeah, so...
That's the most important thing to me.
I mean, this solves the problem I had, because I wanted to go back and play Tactics a couple of years ago, and it was just like...
The PSP version
was so slow, but they had the good translation, and you tried to play the PS1 iPad. Version.
And the audio
the
was
iPad
bad
version the has version. Really bad slowdown.
Well, yeah. it's based on the PSP version,
right?
Which has
but
the
like
same issues.
Even on, I actually tried playing it on my iPad, Chris, and even that has slowdown.
What?
Mm-hmm. So I have like the most recent iPad Pro.
Didn't they put it on Steam at some point? I guess not.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, this will be on Steam, right?
I think it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere the Tactics Ogre was.
I'm sure you can pay $80 on whatever platform you want to buy it on. Because Square Enix.
Shaman, again, to the surprise of nobody, says Pokemon Legends ZA is the main completely new RPG that I'm looking for the rest of 2025. And the rest of my attention is focused on remakes, including Final Fantasy Tactics, Trails in the Sky First Chapter, and Dragon Quest 1 and 2. I am also looking forward to Trails in the Sky First Chapter. I actually talked about this on the Tetracast because I've tried playing Trails in the Sky multiple times, and I know people just say stick with it, but the problem is I think it's ugly.
Oh,
and slow. Yeah, I know.
Well, the remake should be great for you then.
The remake looks wonderful. It sounds like they fixed some of that out of the gate pacing just by making some of the maps a little smaller. And so I'm pretty excited for this. I'm ready to grab a new pair of tits.
I'm sorry, listeners.
I'm not sorry at all. Last but not least, Tam pipes in and says, Super Robot Wars Y is the game that I'm most looking forward to. So for our question of the week, dear listeners, we want to know which game along theme for the rest of 2025 sounds the most exciting to you. And just to refresh your memory, those are detective games, shmups, horror games, visual novels, and music games.
Oh, I'm curious about the answers to this.
You'll have
I feel like I shouldn't answer this because I'm biasy and all that.
No, heck yeah. Tell us, what is your theme that you're most looking forward to?
I look forward to all of them for different reasons, but maybe the
for all your children, but there must be a favorite.
The Smup one, mainly because I'm going, my main game for Smuptember is going to be Space Harrier, because this year for my channel's 10th anniversary, well, not my channel, but MDisc playlist as a whole's 10th anniversary, I wanted to at least play one game from the year I was born, and Space Harrier happens to be my favorite one from that year. So I am looking forward to playing and recording that game.
What year did Space Harrier come out in?
85.
Oh, you're still like youngin'.
It's in the all the Yakuza games.
Oh.
1985, if you didn't hear that whisper. In other words, I'm old. Getting there.
You're not the only one.
Yay!
81.
80.
God,
yay, I'm with my own! Surrounded by 80s kids. I feel so at home now.
All right. You know what that time of the show it is.
What time is it?
It's time for the news.
Oh. Beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep. I guess Keywalker is getting an update called Heartstrings.
Oh, yeah.
All right. New romance options.
Available on PC and coming soon to consoles, adds new macro weapons, 5 new romanceable characters, access to the concert mini game through the game's menu, new randomized encounters, and a bunch of new translations.
Okay, I've never heard of this game, never seen this game before, but I'm liking what I'm seeing right now.
It got a lot of hype around its Kickstarter.
All the face portraits giving me tactics vibes right now.
Yes.
No, they have noses.
Ooh. Cardinal sin.
details.
So I guess, is it a developer or what is Secret Sauce?
Secret Sauce is a publisher.
A publisher, excuse me. Well, they have about 12 trailers that they showcased.
Yeah, so they had a big digital showcase. We're not going to dive into all of these games, but this is the kind of showcase that I wish we'd had during not E3 week, because
we had so many of these. What are you talking about? There were so many showcases.
But, and this is the thing that you got to listen to me complain about it incessantly during that week, and I think I complained about one of the podcasts at the time. None of the games that we saw had release dates. It was all a lot of coming soon or to be announced or 2026. This showcase, everything is coming out this year.
I like when showcases do that.
That's where I want.
More showcases need to do that.
Yes, that's what I want to happen. So we're going to run through the names of all of these games really quickly, just so that if people want to check out a specific one, they know it's there. But all of these games are going to have more coverage on the site in the coming weeks and months, because they are coming out very soon. So here's the 13 RPGs that was in the showcase, and we have trailers for them up on rpgamer.com. Ethermancer, Battlesuit Aces, Angeline Era, Gigasaur, Mycorelic, The Royal Writ, Voyagers of Nera, Adventure Forge, Montabi, Shadows of Chroma Tower, Alabaster Dawn, Band of Crusaders, Enter the Chronosphere, and if I pronounced one of those correctly, send in an angry letter and we'll read it on the next show.
If you pronounced it correctly?
Incorrectly.
Oh, I heard, if you pronounced it correctly, send an angry letter. And yeah. I'm like, well, good thing we won't get any letters then.
Our audience is notoriously nice.
It's true.
The one you have up on Twitch looks really cool. Saw that was made by the CrossCode devs. Another one that I've been meaning to play, just never got around to it, but I did see Capsule Dave stream it, and it did look fun.
Alabaster Dawn looks very pretty. People on the RP Gamer Discord were very excited when this trailer hit. So, and by the way, you can catch us streaming this podcast live at twitch.tv/rpgamer every Saturday, beginning at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And while you're there on the Twitch channel, you can do !Discord or head to rpgamer.com/discord. Join us there. We are a bunch of chatty folks. We love talking about games. Yes, Fess. When I say noon Eastern, I do in fact mean noon-ish. But I blame Chris.
But what
that.
Is time?
If I'm not here, things don't run on time.
You were here today. What's your excuse?
I was the one that was late.
Uh-huh. It's not so easy, is it?
Carrying on.
I'm always on time. 2 seconds later. I was late today.
Nicktoons and the Dice of Destiny is rolling in September, specifically on September 30th. And they've got a couple of editions, including a standard edition for $40, a digital deluxe edition at $60, which includes costume DLC, and an $80 physical collector's edition that includes the game, the DLC, a wooden dice tray, a custom dice set, 9 collectible hero trading cards, a sticker sheet, and a double-sided poster. Those dice actually look kind of cool.
The dice do look nice.
When I look at this, I just can't help but think to myself, there are Critical Role fans, hardcore fans, that are also parents of kids, that this could be a gateway for the parents to bring their kids into the whole tabletop RPG fandom or experience as a whole.
For sure.
So I like the concept of this.
Yeah, and they announced a bunch of characters last week, including Leonardo, the Fairly Odd Parents cast, and Korra and Aang.
Oh, right, like. From Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Quail Man would have been perfect for this game.
I know. It looks like it's doing more late-era Nicktoons, so us 90s kids, unfortunately.
You are SOL.
I mean, they gave you a Ninja Turtle.
No, yeah. But it's the new Turtles.
Well, the old Turtles weren't on Nickelodeon. What do you want
it
from
still
them?
Count.
Fine. And Leo is best Turtle. Fight
Wrong.
Me.
Donatello is best Turtle.
Correct.
You guys are saying
compelling
Mikey
argument.
No, no one's standing for Raphael though.
No.
Not even Josh is willing to stand for Raphael.
Donatello was the best one in the cartoons.
I was just hoping for either Rocco or Stimpy, but I don't know. Maybe they'll do some 90s DLC. Mm. Who knows? Moving on, the Lightbulb Crew announces Exanguis. I guess the Lightbulb Crew is a developer.
Yes, they previously made Other Side.
Okay. This is the strategy roguelite. Set in a dying world drained by the purge and the forces of stasis. Looks kind of bleak.
Yeah. So the very minimalistic.
There are three colors:
aesthetic.
Black,
yeah,
white, red.
So I try not to be that dude that bags on indie devs, and I know past performance doesn't equal future returns. But we reviewed Other Side at 2.5 out of 5.
And.
It makes me a little concerned.
Yeah. But, like, you are just bagging on an indie dev now at this point.
No.
maybe they'll take the constructive criticism and make a better game.
Yeah. I'll got to start somewhere, boss.
Okay, that's true.
Pokemon Presents provides more Pokemon Legends Z through A. Is it Z through A or Z dash A?
I think it's
Z to A.
Z to A, Warrior Princess.
No, Chris. No. No.
So
I will take him out back and beat him later.
You are taking part of a Lumiose City redevelopment plan to, I guess, shape the city into a place that belongs to people and Pokemon.
You're part Pokemon of urban gentrification. Yay!
And also Dragonite has wings.
Oh. So do we know which side we're on? Are we fighting against the gentrification, or are we the bad guys who are fighting for gentrification?
I think we're trying to encourage the gentrification.
Yeah, I think we're the bad guys.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The game is going to change up the series' traditional turn-based combat with a new real-time combat where trainers and Pokemon move around in real time and unleash moves when commanded.
Did Legends not already do this?
Yes.
No.
What?
I thought that Legends... I guess Legends was more of an ATB?
No.
Nobody remembers. Arceus was so good.
No. I'm saying no slowly because I'm confused. It was very action-based.
Yeah.
Well, this is also even more...
I thought the fights were still somewhat turn-based.
Kind of? But not really. You both put in an action and you can move around and continue to choose actions. It was mostly a matter of whichever Pokemon was faster moved first.
So it's Mystery Dungeon.
Yeah.
This one sounds like you're like moving around an arena and Pokemon abilities have a area of effect.
Oh, okay. That would be a little different.
Yeah.
I would turn it into an action RPG.
Mm.
And here is what is tempting me. There's going to be a Switch 2 bundle for this.
Is this how we get a Switch 2, Chris?
No, it will sell out in 3 seconds.
Okay.
3 seconds, that's very generous.
I know, right?
Well, it may take a little longer because Nintendo, if it's on Nintendo's side, it'll
exactly.
crash.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's also bringing back Mega Evolution.
Yay!
Can I pre-order this somewhere? Because if not, then no. Of course you're not getting
the
it.
The game?
No, yes. the bundle.
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
Even if you can pre-order the bundle,
it's already sold out.
Pre-order the bundle.
Yeah. No, you're right.
That's just how it goes. I'm sorry. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I try to keep positive vibes wherever I go, but there's no way anybody's pre-ordering that unless they are just a
on
little
top
bit
of it. All right. Tell us more about the
this looks terrible, by the way. This battle system looks awful.
That is you.
Also, Mega Dragonite's weird. It giant wings on its head and it
wings
and
at the top
and
of
a,
the head.
And a
that's a choice.
And a bead that I'm not gonna say what kind of bead it looks like.
Chris.
Yeah. I'm just saying there's going to be some Rule 34 Dragonite coming.
Oh, no.
As if there isn't already.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, goodness. Save us, Kelly.
Manticore Games reveals Out of Time. This is a multiplayer action roguelike. And let's see, it's set after an event called The Shattering, which fuses the past, future, and present into an ever-changing battleground.
So, I'm kind of surprised that we're covering this because Manticore Games is an NFT company and Core is intended to be logged into with a wallet.
Oh, really?
But apparently they're also putting this on the Epic Game Store.
Hmm.
Is that not something you
that's two red flags right there.
I mean,
hey,
there's a like. They actually gave classes training the Mooncats community how to make Mooncats experiences on the Core platform.
Can I like, just say
this
I
is
have a
really
problem.
Integrated into Web3. I'm just apparently they're not marketing it that way. So okay. I'm surprised.
Well, maybe they're hoping most people are too ignorant of the Web3 stuff and they'll try it and then they're hooked.
Yeah, I just
you're blowing this wide open. You're blowing the story wide open, Andy.
Like obviously, as someone who owns an NFT IP, I don't want to throw stones in glass houses. But I also think if you're an NFT company with NFT integrated games and you're trying to market to people while like completely shoving that in the closet, that's really disingenuous.
Let's see. Why you'll love it, according to their Epic Game Store entry. The first multiplayer 3D roguelike.
No.
Oh, wait. Name one. Somebody name one.
Shiren, the newest one.
Is that multiplayer?
Oh, actually, multiplayer.
Wait a second. I know one. Risk of Rain 2.
What about Monster Hunter?
Risk of Rain 2 is a 3D roguelite. Okay. Anyway, no lock.
Is it the new Elden Ring also kind of sort of?
Yeah, Night Rain. Yeah, you're right. Yep. Okay. No locked roles, just endless build experimentation. Up to 4-player co-op systems that reward teamwork. That's good. You don't want the ones that don't reward teamwork.
Wow, so innovative.
Experience over-the-top cinematic flair from dragons to rock bands. Sorry, man, unless your dragons have wings coming out of their head, they just don't count anymore. free regular content updates, seasonal expansions, new modes, and features such as PvP. Because no one has had PvP before us, right? So
nah. Yeah.
And then built on Core's tech for constant evolution. No idea what that means. Core could just be, you know, it's plugged into the wall. You know, and like
fancy jargon and all these quote unquote innovations.
Yeah.
Like PvP.
That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. I mean, Core is sort of like saying Unity Engine or RPG Maker.
I mean,
it's cool if you want to play that up, because Core is an interesting technology. If you like Web3, but I don't know how interesting it is for like the average gamer.
Yeah, it's.
You may be surprised to hear the Google AI search engine overview does not really understand what Core Tech is either. Core Tech, in the context of video games, can refer to the fundamental underlying technology and systems that a game is built upon. I don't think that's really what they're talking about here.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. So.
SEO's not good on this.
No. Yeah, Core is not a good branding because it's a overused word.
That's why they mostly use ManaCore games.
There we go. Oh, here's a Core Tech 3 used in King Arthur's and Death Trap and King Arthur Legion. Not, I don't know.
Oh, well, there you go.
Is that even what they're talking about? I don't know.
Nope. So
none of us know what Out of Time's Core Tech is or how to learn more about it. So that's great.
So
perfect.
Like I said, Core is like their game engine.
No, you know what it is, but I want to see it written down.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to see.
It was made in Unreal Engine.
No, it's just on the Epic Games Store. There's difference. Actually, it might also be in Unreal. I don't know. Everything else is. Oh, here we go. If you go to ManticoreGames.com, it says Core, Create, Share, Play. So what does that mean? Roblox? Core is Roblox? Because that's what Roblox is.
So it definitely was pitched to us back in the day as like Roblox, but for NFTs.
Oh, real? Oh, seriously, is Roblox. Okay, cool. So child labor. Got it. Next.
3 red flags.
Oh, next.
No. Listen, side-scrolling RPG Lotus is releasing this year.
Mm-hmm. Yay. So this looks neat. A side-scrolling RPG. Why not?
Yeah, we haven't had one of those before. Zelda 2.
What was that game that you could go forward, but you couldn't go backwards anymore?
Every Metroidvania game. Oh,
And it was side-scrolling.
Yeah, that was that one of those, like, you have a minute to save the world sort of games?
No.
Or, oh, okay.
Question mark?
Oh.
Minute was different. Minute was pixel art. Right. I'm just thinking of a game that the more you went to the right, you couldn't go back to the left at all.
Yeah, we call that Super Mario Brothers, Andy.
But it was an RPG.
Half Minute Hero?
No.
Okay. That's the one I'm thinking of. But,
okay.
But anyways, also Mario Brothers
is
that.
Someone will remind me. So,
oh,
what about this game? What is this about?
Let's see. It is about two friends, Nora and Luna, who grew up under one roof and lost their parents at a young age. They're setting out to down the creature that caused their father's death.
Look at this. Okay. I'm wishlisting this. This looks neat.
Success. All right, Kelly. Tell me about Road Truckers.
Wait, we're doing... Oh, okay, an open-ended truck simulation RPG.
What? Okay, are you the truck? Is this set in the Cars universe? Do I get to play as Mater?
Chris?
Yeah, is there a truck-coon?
Yeah, am I truck-coon? Am I isekai-ing other people by running them over? I'm doing them
a
favor.
That sounds like an excellent idea for a game.
This, I'm surprised it doesn't exist yet, I'll be honest. Isekai simulator, but from the truck's point of view.
It sounds like a cozy game, but instead of, you know, shipping those crops from a cozy game, you are the shipper. Mm. You're starting a new business, inspiring town folk, and reinvigorating the local economy. And you can customize the interior and exterior of your truck, as well as replace parts. And there's lots of driving simulation.
Yeah. And it looks like it even has all the fun stuff, like filling up the gas tanks with gas.
Woohoo!
So
if I mess up, does it spray me in the eye and I have to go wash my eye out?
You do have to treat injuries in this game.
Okay. So it's a survival trucking game.
Yes.
Do I have to manage my body temperature?
So do you pound a lot of caffeine pills and still fall asleep at the wheel?
Do I get to do trucker talk on the CB radio?
See, Chris, this is what I was thinking is, so for those who may be unaware, site friend PT6, who's done some writing for us, he used to stream on his channel mostly RPGs, and except for when he did like a truck simulation, and then his like very normal RPG centric channel turned into Big Pete's Road Showcase.
That was
what it was, and it was ridiculous. He stopped streaming for a few years, and now he's back to streaming again. So Big Pete could be on his way back.
That's a tease. Big Pete's gone.
I'm sending him this like right now.
Yeah,
I have a problem. Vaughn in the chat just told us there's a manga about being the truck driver isekai-ing people. You have to get
That's
quotas. You have to get quotas to get god points to buy stuff to make the truck. Oh wait, no. The second line is his suggestion for the game, which is good. What if the game has quotas to get god points to buy stuff to make your truck better? Which, yeah, obviously.
Someone needs to do that.
Then we can bring in the crazy taxi soundtrack too for finding people and running them over. This is perfect.
I would buy that.
No, that was in the manga. No, it was in the manga. He got points to make his truck. I hate it.
I love it. That's not, I'm sorry. I like that idea.
This needs great. To be licensed and brought over immediately.
Is this the best timeline or the worst timeline?
Yes. Why not both?
Oh, no. All right. Let's talk about a game we're convinced it's going to be good.
Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky first chapter. Yeah, I had to explain to
Vaughn. Yeah, because it's out already and it is good. Like, you don't need this remake. Go play the original.
No.
I had to explain to Vaughn while I was upstairs while he was talking about tits. And I was like, Trails in the Sky.
Trails in the Sky. Acronym. Sorry, children.
I kind of forgot that people aren't used to me acronyming like that, and I called.
So I'm sorry. The pitch is you like tits? Well, check out this remake. What I'm hearing,
we're gonna have a great pair of tits.
Mm. It's gonna be actually, three of them.
Be
actually,
three, right?
Yeah.
Oh, don't. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. This is gonna be a little bit of. sorry, what's the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie with the mutants on Mars?
Total Recall.
Total Recall, thank you.
Hey, it's better than when I used to complain that I just couldn't get into tits.
This is not okay. Bond has now sent me a link to the manga. I have to go read Truck-kun manga. I'll
I forget sometimes
later.
That people don't know that I shorten the game like that, and... without thinking about it, on the RPG site podcast, I said, I am so excited for this tits. Mm-hmm. And there was like a very like moment of silence, and then everybody proceeded to giggle.
Did they not know?
I think we're the only people that are dumb enough to shorten it like that, Chris.
All right.
But yes, this looks great. I'm very excited for this. And it's coming up soon, September 19th. Yeah.
It will be very cool to see all of Labral back kind of like done in 3D.
And I've been slowly watching the rollout of the different voice actors. Mm-hmm. And so that's been fun.
Yeah, this is back before they had. Well, they did those Vita versions that we never got that had extensive voice acting.
But Japanese only.
Yeah, Japanese only. Yeah.
Right. So first time in English for voicing these games.
Yay.
That is neat.
So the faster the truck cool goes, the higher the gacha rating of the card the person in the isekai world will be. So you can shift from rare to super rare to super, super rare to ultra rare.
We have fallen down a hole.
I'm sorry, folks.
No, you've been isekai'd into a hole.
Well, there's our podcast title. Chris has been isekai'd into a hole. Oh no, Kelly, save us from ourselves.
There's a new Dungeons and Dragons game coming out. Let me get to the story. Dungeons and Dragons Dragon Shard Forgotten Realms Demon Stone is coming to Steam.
Yeah,
and sorry, it isn't new.
These are old games that are coming back. So I actually played Forgotten Realms Demon Stone back on the Xbox.
Yeah, I know which game this is now. The publisher even has a new pay what you want bundle available in the Humble Store for this. And yeah, originally released for the PC, PS2, and Xbox in 2004.
Oh, look at this! All the gold boxes. It's
written by R.A. Salvatore.
Yeah, the guy who started the Drizzt character. I never know how to pronounce that.
Drizzt D'Urden. 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 Drizzt D'Urden. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, this has got a lot of that era's brown in it.
This is not brownish. A pay-what-you-want bundle, by the way. You can't pay zero. It says, please enter an amount higher than five. If you put five, which is not higher than five, it is five, so it's lying to you. You can just put five. So, A, they're being imprecise with their language.
It says pay $5 or more.
Yeah, and then it says $109, pay what you want. Look, at I'm highlighting it on the screen. Let me zoom. Pay what you want. Well, I want to pay zero. Okay, well, not only can you not pay what you want, you have to pay at least five, but also if you pay less than 10, you don't even get everything. You only get five things from 5 to 10. Mm. And it lies to you about, like, pay, you know, five or more, pay more than five, but five is okay. So they're trying to get a penny out of you and make you pay 501.
False advertising.
It is. It is, but also, you know, what do you expect? Humble's owned by IGN now, by the way. Did you know that?
Yeah, you know that? That happened a couple of years ago.
Pay less to get fewer items or pay extra to give more to publishers. Tam, I'm sorry. That fine print does not equal pay what you want. Pay what you want very clearly is what you want, not what they want. And this is pay what we want.
They want you to pay what you want, but they're encouraging you to pay a little bit more.
I do appreciate.
That's how it works.
I'm going to give them a tip because they use less and fewer correctly in a sentence. So that is good. Not a lot of people can do that. There's less and less people who can do that today.
Oh, Chris. You just made so many people angry saying that.
What's the FF14 phrase? Less and few. Oh, they have a weird way of saying fewer and fewer. It doesn't matter. All right. Anyway, hi. So are these games any good?
Remember,
these are games that you can easily pirate at this point and play on any, like, your smart fridge. So I'm kind of surprised that there's a market for this.
But also, people do want legitimate copies of their games.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that piracy is easier, but there is such a thing as, like, rewarding.
But you didn't answer my question.
That actually do make an effort to come back and make their games available on modern consoles. How about we don't encourage people to pirate things that actually can be purchased legitimately?
Unlike the Saturn games we were talking about.
Correct.
Yeah. So this one, you ride dragons with a lance. Mm-hmm. It's not Dragonlance, though. So maybe it ties into Dragon? I don't know.
That's Dragon Shard, right?
Dragon Strike, it's called. The one I was looking at.
Okay.
Tam says I already own this entire bundle. So, is it any good, Tam?
The Humble Bundle doesn't include Dragon Shard or Forgotten Realms.
Is that a problem?
No, I misread what the Humble Bundle was doing. So Dragon Shard and Forgotten Realms Demon Stone hit PCs mid-August, but if you need D&D injected into your veins this second, there is also a Humble Bundle with a bunch of old D&D games.
How did they tie into this? Is it the same publisher?
Is it Snag Limited?
What I'm asking.
I don't know how to find.
Let's find out.
Snag.
Yep.
And
Sneaky Snag.
And Snag. Yep. So yep. I guess these are all Snag games.
Yeah.
Thank you, Snag, for making these available to a new audience.
You can play these old DOS games while you wait for old PC games that look like
Xbox games. Or I guess they were PC as
they
well.
They look like they're Never Winter Nights era games, which means all the characters are ugly.
Judgy.
Where's Hairfrog? This looks like some jank.
Oh, do we have to buy him a jank bundle?
I think we do. Not the DOS games. He won't play those, but like, but only if these were made in Europe.
Oh, it's not Euro jank.
I don't know. It could be. I just don't know.
We'll have to talk about it in the stream.
Where did Stormfront Studios live? That's what we have to figure out. No, Stormfront Studios was American. The other one is Liquid Entertainment. Let's see. Where'd they come from?
Kelly, save us with more news.
No, there's a chance. Oh, they're also American. We're screwed.
And we got to cover the news. We got to cover it all.
Code Vein 2 introduces the motorcycle forma. Let's go back to the
freaking European Eurojank.
So does this mean that your girls turn into motorcycles?
No.
Wait, no, you ride a motorcycle.
Oh, you ride a motorcycle. Okay.
Yeah. And they made an actual motorcycle that they're carrying around to PAX and Comic-Con and stuff.
What?
Yeah. Neat.
Is it actually a functional motorcycle or just a prop?
I think it's just a prop.
Okay.
Fun fact, you actually have to get permits to put that stuff in a bunch of convention halls, because even if it isn't a vehicle that is functional, it still has to be certified as not functional. So if you ever see like a car in a convention center, know that they had to jump through a buttload of hoops to get it into there.
I've never played a Code Vein game, but I've been meaning to, and killing demons on motorcycles, that sounds fun.
This is just the little horse deer thing from Elden Ring, but it's a motorcycle.
Our Q&A quest host likes this series.
Isn't it also the Pokemon motorcycle in Scarlet Violet too?
Oh, well, there it is, the Pokemon, but yeah.
All right. Wrapping up our news with Elden Ring.
Yeah, so Elden Ring Night Rain is adding duo expeditions this week. Dedicated two-player expeditions.
So if you only have one friend instead of two, now you can do
it. Oh, did you need two before?
Yeah, so all of this Night Rain stuff is designed to be played with three players.
Ooh, why would they do that to begin with? That's weird. Night Rain is weird.
It's their you play with friends game, right?
Yes.
It just strikes me as Soulsborne Fortnite.
But people are enjoying it, right? So what do I know?
Well, people also enjoyed Fortnite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen anybody that I like follow their streaming closely stream.
It's not for you.
So even though I have watched people stream Elden Ring, so I don't know. Last little bit of news that we don't have a story about on the site because it's more industry news and we don't tend to cover that. Sony has purchased a 2.5% stake in Bandai Namco. So it may be relevant to us and it may not be relevant to us, because my understanding of this deal is it's largely for targeting anime, because Sony wants to be like a big anime producer, distributor.
They are.
They own all the anime things.
Yeah. Right. And so like this is them further consolidating their supremacy in that, you know, lane. So I don't get a good feeling out of this announcement if it will affect any of Bandai Namco's gaming plans. So we'll have to see in the future.
Well, I mean, if Sony's buying them, just expect layoffs.
It's a stake. They don't own them.
Okay, well, here's one where they are being bought. 11th Hour Games is being bought by Krafton. And if you don't know who they are, let me say the games they're known for. 11th Hour Games, the developers of Last Epoch, an action RPG that's competitive with Path of Exile and Diablo 4, has been acquired by the people who own PUBG.
Oh.
Not the people who made PUBG, the people who own PUBG. And
I feel
let me just say that the general vibe here is that there's a reason you don't hear about people playing PUBG anymore, because it went a bit hard in the monetization and such. And so we're not looking forward to what's going to happen to Last Epoch. So, yay. Boo. Actually, boo. It's a hard boo. But maybe it'll be okay. Maybe they'll be like a Perfect World Entertainment and not interfere with their games at all. How long did that last for?
There is for? One other piece of news this week that isn't in our sheet that was, I guess we'll call it good news, that the Outer Worlds 2 is no longer going to be $80. It's only going to be $70 when it releases.
Oh?
Yep.
That's
turns out
interesting.
Nobody likes the idea of spending $80 on a game.
So Microsoft decided, like, maybe we're not as good as Mario Kart.
Hold
maybe
on. We can't Let me read this. Let me read this. We're focused on bringing players incredible worlds to explore, and we'll keep our full-priced holiday releases, including The Outer Worlds 2, at $69.99 in line with current market conditions, said the spokesperson. So not only that, they're saying, like, we're not raising prices at all for anything for now. That's, and they confirmed the change will also apply to regions outside the U.S. like the U.K. and E.U. Interesting. That is, I'm confused what changed other than public feedback.
Yeah.
It did anything? Like, was this trying to get ahead of tariffs that have been undone by donating enough money to Trump? Like, what's going on here, you know?
I don't know. I mean, you know, Mario Kart World had, what was it, like an 88% attach rate?
Yeah. Well, of course it would.
The high price has not kept it down.
It was one of the only ones to get the Switch.
Yeah. True.
Also, what else are you going to play on it till Donkey Kong came out? But, like, Mario Kart was high. Wasn't it 80?
Yeah, it's 80.
So then, like, wouldn't that support the new price tag?
I don't know. Microsoft decided to pull back. Maybe Microsoft is like, we've had so much bad news in the last few weeks. We need some good news out there.
All right.
Yeah, they're still getting bad news. So, yeah, here's a distraction. Our game is cheaper now. Hooray!
I guess. They did have the layoff bad news. So maybe that's an interesting way to get public good feels back for your gaming division, I guess.
Yeah.
But, all right.
The adding a hat to Malibu Stacy tactic.
Now you want her, right? No? Oh. What we want are new video cards that are good, but we can't have them because all the companies are buying them for their AI servers.
No, we're not getting into this. Instead, we're going to go talk about new release dates.
My opinions do not reflect those of my employer. Anyway.
Borderlands 4 is releasing on Switch 2 in October.
Yes. Borderlands 2, there's no picture. Oh, nope. They must have lost the USB drive with the pictures on it.
So all PC, PS5, Xbox Series, and S and X are September 12, 2025, and then Switch 2 is going to be October 3rd.
I'm going to Medieval Times to get the USB stick!
If you were a real fan, you would make it work.
That's true. I would just get a new job. Making selling people on core technology and making money so I could buy Borderlands 4 at the higher price. Hey, they're not really. Oh, that's what you just said. You just made this joke. They're not lowering their price, are they? Darn it.
You know, you are only a real fan if you are powered by electricity, have multiple flat blades, and spin around really fast.
Wait, that's literally a ceiling fan. That reminds me, I got to get a picture of the fan in our office and put it in my OnlyFans folder.
What?
You know, my folder that's full of only pictures of ceiling fans.
Yeah. Kelly.
OnlyFans. No?
And by the way, if you do want to play the Switch 2 version, you're going to have to wait because it comes out on October 3rd, while the other versions come out in September.
Who's excited for Borderlands 4?
Crickets.
Yeah.
Who is excited for a new Final Fantasy 14 patch?
I'm told not many people. I was even told that people are pissed off at some armor sets.
there's a lot of rage.
There's still
around...
more excitement about that than Borderlands.
So yeah. I'm going to say there is drama. There's like a whole thing about Final Fantasy 14 and like they're not properly responding to a stalker plugin that was released and because of how they introduced. There's a whole hist. Oh, okay. I got to tell you this one thing. So they added a blacklist feature to the game at some point, like a year ago. And the way they implemented it made it so that you can now have a ID number that people can, you know, sniff the packets and get that ties all of your accounts to this ID number. So now you can stalk people even when they're on alt characters, which you're going to be like, is that's probably true in every MMO. And it's like, I think it is, but it wasn't true here and now it is. And so people are like, people are now stalking me even when I go play on my alts. And as you can imagine, content creators have to work hard for their privacy, right? Because the internet gets weird. But in addition to that, there's a bunch of people who don't like the writing and stuff of the last 14 expansion. Some of that is in good faith. Some of that is because they're just transphobes and they can't handle the fact that there was like a trans-related voice actress in charge of one of the roles. And it's a whole thing. Like, I got feelings across the board, right? And
sounds like a skill issue for the transphobes.
It does, but also the writing wasn't that good in some regards. So it's like, it's hard to figure out, wait, is this person being a transphobe or are they like legitimately just not vibing with this expansion story? So like you have to deal with all that too. So just so much stuff going on. Uh-oh. Tam is linking me something. Oh, okay. That's not what I wanted, Tam, but it is what I deserve. Let me bring this up for the, sorry, you knocked me off my flow, Tam, but this is a good joke. So I'm going to put this on the stream while I talk. So for the people who are, for people are angry about Final Fantasy 14 in general. So now we have a new patch being announced and I've heard no one talking about it. And, I was just kind of curious if I'm like being served a particular sort of content on YouTube and I think there's all this drama when it doesn't actually exist. Like, did everything I just actually explain, is that real or is that a false impression I've been getting from YouTube's algorithm? It's like, is everyone enjoying 14 and excited the new patch is coming out like it normally would be, or are people just done with it like for a bunch of different reasons?
It could be the algorithm, because I have mutuals that still stream 14 every chance they get.
Okay.
And they still seem to enjoy it.
I just want to know, like,
don't let the algorithms manipulate you.
I want to play an MMO, and I'm scared that if I get into Final Fantasy 11 private servers, that that's just the end of my life. I'm going to play that until I retire. Until I die in a nursing home. It would be like, I've almost got my mat cap. Hold on, I got to get another job to 75. And I don't want that to be my life. So what am I going to do? So 14 would be an alternative because it's much better interface than 11, right? And like, oh, I've almost got my last job's mythic plus duodecim weapon from the Boja offensive. Just one more trip around the world to fill out the stickers in this book, and then I have all my mythic gear relic plus stuff, which is basically the same bad ending, but it's shinier and with more anime looking, and so that just seems better, right?
Well, if you want to go further back than that, I know some people that got Habitat to work in this day and age, if you go that far back.
No, I can't. I can't.
I don't think you need another game.
I don't need another game?
That's gonna, like, take over your life.
So what should I play, then? Because I can't play Path of Exile, I can't play the Final Fantasies, I can't play the MMOs, I can't play WoW. What's left, Andy? Or we should just talk about the patch story, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Sorry. What's up? What did they announce?
So the main story quest is continuing. There's part two of the Echoes of Vanadil Final Fantasy XI themed Alliance raid. The Unreal Trial, the Wreath of Stakes, Vault Wani, I cannot pronounce that. Oneiron. Treasure Dungeon.
I have to find it. Oh, Oneiron. Oneiron, oh. I think.
Oneiron, okay.
Something like that. Yeah, Vaughn will tell us.
tongue things.
Duty support for the Cutter's Cry Dungeon, PvP Series 9, and miscellaneous updates including chat bubbles, Phoenix Down changes, and group post updates.
So, like, even if I go play 14, I'm going to have to play through Final Fantasy 11 stuff. Like, I'm screwed. I can't win.
Well, that's part of the challenge.
Also, okay. Then it turns into frickin' Phantasy Star? I don't know what's happening at the end of this trailer. Oh, right. I forgot. You had to do crafting on the moon to make them. It's like they did a whole crafting thing in Ishgard in the previous expansion. Now they're doing that in the moon. So you can go make a new habitat on the moon.
Is the moon haunted?
Not anymore.
That doesn't sound
promising. Listen, there was a fight, okay? But it's over now. You're fine. The moon's fine. Go ride the doggy. The moon's fine.
Okay.
The doggy's a good doggy.
I'm not sure I trust you.
All right. I'm telling you, though, you can just go ride the doggy on the moon. Everything's fine.
Okay.
Do you trust me, Paz? Says Tam. The answer is no. You're a Nikkei player. Nobody can trust you.
I feel like I can't answer that.
This is so weird. Like, they're in Juno with Prish in Final Fantasy 14, and there's that evil little emperor kid. Like, what is... I should go play 14. I can go get my 11 vibes in 14. What am I doing?
We have a guild that does stuff all the time.
Do we?
Yeah.
Is that dude with the glasses Hildebrand?
Hold on. I'll have to rewind. I didn't... No.
Okay.
I refuse. It could be, but I refuse to accept he can look that cool.
Yeah. Res Arcana still does stuff, right?
Yeah.
It looks like the mysterious stranger from Fallout.
Yeah, it is more like that, isn't it? For people who don't know, if you played Fallout and got a certain Fallout 3 and got a certain perk, like a dude would just wander up and kill things for you randomly and then leave. Damn it. Tam says it is Hildebrand. You were right, Kelly. You had it. Hildebrand looking cool for once.
Legend of Heroes Trails Beyond the Horizon is releasing on January 15th.
Yay.
Which one is this one? Is this wrap up to the Daybreak?
This is more Calvard arc, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it has Kevin and, Reen in it as well.
This is like Calvard, but we're back to religion.
They're going to space?
Yes, they're going to space.
Is this... Do you go to space in the Trails of Cold Steels?
We haven't before. This is the first time.
Okay.
I mean, we go through time and space.
I don't even want to know anymore.
Does that not count?
Hey, did you know in 14 you get to go across time and... or across space with a ship piloted by the rabbits, the little rabbit chons. The naming ways.
Yes.
Yeah. They are good at interstellar travel.
We had joked in the Suikoden episode that like 20 years from now, there's going to be 108 characters playable in one game.
I guess I already figured there were between all the games. Is that not actually the case?
I mean, I know I don't have an exact count, but I know that when I played Reverie, there was a lot.
Yeah.
I figured at this point, if you counted all playable characters together across all games, that you'd be at over 100, but maybe...
No.
Oh, they reuse people more
plus,
than that.
Yeah. Right. It depends on how you define playable character.
I mean, you can control them in your party at one point.
Oh, then that opens up a lot. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of guest characters. Mm-hmm. You just opened...
I did.
The Pandora's box, Chris.
Yeah, because that's what this series is. We've been discussing them going to space for a while in Trails, says Tam. Okay.
I missed the
Trails in the Sky gif where Tim Curry goes, space!
Oh, but yeah.
Wait, is that a Spanish translation of him? I haven't seen that. I gotta go find that.
It's the Spanish translation of the whole space thing from Portal 2.
Oh,
instead of space,
with the
space. Oh, Espacio.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I got to find that in Spanish now. Okay, next.
That was all the news.
Oh.
What?
Now I'm sad.
What games are coming out this week, Chris?
Well, let's find out. We've got Mado Monogatari, Fia and the Wondrous Academy for the Switch and PlayStation.
You might want to read some reviews for that one.
Oh, not looking great. Okay. We also have something called Wander Stars for PC and Switch.
Yes. This is the game that MIDI was talking about.
Mm. That comes out in September.
Oh, it got delayed then. That happens.
Steam page says September 19th.
Okay.
So we need to update our...
I might have got that one off Wiki, actually. Oh, okay. So that the Wiki is out of date. It's hard to... Release dates are hard, folks. Sorry.
They are hard. I agree.
Harvest Moon's Switch ports of the 3DS games, Lost Valley and Skytree Village, apparently coming out this week.
I am credited in at least one of those.
Good for you. I remember
you are a celebrity.
I remember helping you get 3DS capture footage from one of those.
Yep, that was back when I had my big giant.
You did not have.
Box
you borrowed.
Of Doom.
You borrowed.
Well, they bought it for me.
Oh, I thought they had it already.
No, that was one that was specifically purchased for me to use.
Wow. 3DS capture kits were weird.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that.
They don't look like 3DSs.
No, they don't. they have like a 3DS with an umbilical cord on it. It's weird.
Yeah.
Right?
Anyway. Technically I wasn't allowed to take pictures of it, so right. I actually don't think I have any photos.
Yeah, we don't have any. Yeah. We played by the rules since it was your job.
Yeah.
Anyway, so two other games coming out, 9 Years of Shadow, apparently, but I need to look up what platforms it's coming out for because it's already out on PC. I'm sorry. But that's a Metroidvania / shooter / fighting game. That's kind of weird.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. So it must be coming to like Switch or something.
Yeah, it and looks then, like PS5 and PS4.
Wishlist.
And we already said Wander Stars is not coming out. So I thought Wander. So I have here Wander Stars on August 1st. Are you saying September now? Darn it.
Okay. Yeah, September 19th.
Right. Yeah, I think I said September when I was talking about it.
Yeah.
Earlier.
I'm just double checking.
I'm sorry. I'm just double checking because I got confused because I've looked up two other games since we talked. Okay. That's it. That's all I got. So, like, in my opinion, go play Final Fantasy XI inside Final Fantasy XIV.
And one
unless that's bad
new early access game, the demons told me to make this game.
What?
It is
what a title.
Narrative horror RPG. This is
so
a game
you're not
about
gonna
time
play
loops
this.
And cosmic horror featuring demons, monsters, evil cults, bloody rituals, and elder
wait
gods.
You could play this, Andy. This doesn't look particularly gross and it's your vibes.
Yeah, so
it's a visual novel with we'll Cthulhu.
I think I'd have to see how
and look at this cute evil penguin. Aww. Evil penguin.
Evil hold penguin, on. Dude.
I don't know. It might be a little
look
icky for me.
Look at aww. Penguin-chan just wants a hug. Look at him.
I don't think he actually
look at that.
Wants
he
a
just
hug.
Wants a hug. Look at those little he's got little chest bones coming out of his skin trying to hug you.
Mm-hmm.
That looks
a very pointy
out.
Hug.
Mm-hmm. He wants to hug you and squeeze you forever, forever. Oh, wow. They've got a line on here. Come to Gleeful Penguin. We serve French fries and human suffering. That's amazing.
So McDonald's.
Yeah. It's my, you should really play this game, Andy. Come to Gleeful Penguin.
I'm going to probably
I love having you on the show
for yeah. now. And of course, we always have editorial content. We interviewed the devs behind Kabuto Park. We have a review for Wu Cheng Falling Feather. Fallen Feathers. And our scores plot.
I'm sorry. Apparently the site's broken right now. I got to go fix it. It's a 3.5 out of 5. If you just reload, it loads.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was broken earlier, I guess.
And poor Gaijin, we had Michael Baker play Astria sending for us. And
not good.
Well,
oh, it's a deep look. Oh no.
Yeah. We he explained where he was at.
Hey, this and, the visuals look like that one
Vanillaware. Yeah.
Wait, what? Yeah, the Vanillaware like game. Unicorn Overlord, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah, but it sounds like there is
not much
other than Chris,
that is one of the buggiest games I have ever played. I finished it.
This came out a while ago, didn't it? No.
There was a bug where the volume kept going up.
It came out in 2021. I remember you tell us about that bug. You couldn't get the volume to go down.
It was driving me up the wall.
Deja vu.
Because, like, you know, so sometimes the cats step on the remote and turn the volume up, but it was like, why is this game so loud? It was making my speakers crackle. And then I finally backed out of the game and restarted it, and it was like, oh, it was a bug. The volume just kept going up and up and up.
Has it been fixed?
I have no idea. I don't even know if
it sounds from Gaijin's write-up. No, the game remains quite buggy.
Well, let's go to the Steam reviews. All reviews mixed.
I played it on PS5.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going into Steam because that's the most likely to get a patch if anyone's getting a patch. That's why.
Fair point.
Posted June 27th. Not recommended. 0.5 hours on record. Quote, this game is like really broken. Can't recommend. That's the review.
And what sucked about it is that it had such a neat premise that there are these gods that only have like 3 years of service before they die.
Recommended. It didn't suck. It was actually pretty good. It is a steal at 90% off. This is all from one review, by the way. It is a steal at 90% off. Graphics look amazing. The battle feature has a boost system similar to Octopath and can be pretty fun. The story needs to explain the setting more. The enemies hit too hard. UI is terrible.
That's a recommend?
That's a recommend posted on April 1st. I have no idea if it's ironic or not.
I recommend this wonderful yet buggy game.
This game that doesn't suck, that the graphics look amazing with a UI that's terrible and enemies that hit too hard and a story that needs to explain its setting and a fun battle feature.
Sounds like an IGN review, if you ask me.
Hey, I don't. Game reviews is a hard business to be in. We're not going to throw stones in that house right now.
We finally made it to the end.
Oh, we did?
Yes.
Oh.
Chris,
yeah?
What are you going to be playing this week?
Well, you didn't even ask what I played last week.
Yeah, because you weren't... because you're not playing JRPGs for JRPG July.
What is more JRPG than Horse Girls?
Do you get experience with the Horse Girls?
No. But I feed them carrots.
Points.
I feed them carrots. Does that count? I played The Operator. Nobody cares. The Operator is a cool little visual novel thing with a terrible ending. But like the game is really cool up until the end. Highly recommend it because I got it for free on Epic. So if you can get it for free on Epic, it's a fun 3 hours visual novel experience. Yeah. Until you get to the ending, then you can be angry with me. And then I've been watching Sumo. I've been watching Midnight Sumo on Twitch, who's providing commentary over the top of the current sumo tournament in Japan, and that has been wild to watch something very much not what I'm used to from America. So this is Japanese sumo, and I've learned a lot about sumo in the past week. Nobody cares though, but that's Japanese. It's just not a role playing game. And Uma Musume is a Japanese game. It's just not role-playing. And
well, you did something and you gave yourself a perk, it sounds like. So you are living the JRPG.
I gave myself a perk? Oh, because I learned about sumo. It's like a real-life RPG. It's an RLRPG. That's a new genre, right? Did I just try to turn... Oh, I just tried to turn learning into a video game title genre, huh? I need to go think about what I've done.
I mean, if I could have a progress bar for learning something, and when that bar is filled, I've officially learned it, then That would be amazing.
We've been wanting that since The Matrix, right?
Yeah.
I know Kung Fu. Yeah, okay, that's fine. But can you download the latest collection this was going to be so good if my brain had given me the name of the anime manga series that I wanted before I started this joke. What's the name of the stupid show with All Might and the heroes who have a
My Hero Academia?
Yeah, can you download all of My Hero Academia to my head so I can catch up on that quickly? That's what I was looking for, but no, I didn't get there. Forget that. If I have that technology, I'm catching up on One Piece because it's the only way it's going to happen. There's too many episodes of One Piece and Critical Role. I'm also downloading Critical Role because I can't catch up on that either.
The Mighty Nein cartoons coming out in November.
Darn it. Catch up, Kelly. I have to catch up. Oh, what am I going to play this week? So I'm going to watch some more Sumo. And Andy, I don't know what I'm going to play this week. I've been struggling about it. Maybe I'll go play 14. Maybe an MMO is what I need. What do you think, Andy? Do I need an MMO or a Diablo-like? Those are your two options. Because they're the only two things I know I'll be able to get myself to play. All right, sounds like I'm going to be cleaning the backyard then. All right, cool.
Midi, what are you going to be playing this week?
I'm going to be playing Quest 64 on stream.
I'm so excited for this.
What? Nintendo 64 and the Game Boy Color version.
Can you get the Quest 64 Twitter account to like watch you and live tweet you?
He normally does tweet people that like tag him into stuff. Nice. So he will 100% help promote you.
I will say when I talked about it, I did notice that the Quest 64 blue ski gave me a like or reski. I can't remember, but
that's them.
I was going to say that the Quest 64 blue sky is at least aware of what I have planned.
Nice.
I heard that game was terrible.
It's not good. But it's not bad either.
But I am willing to put myself through this for
science.
For science.
For science. For science. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. For science.
For science.
Solidly mediocre game.
Oh, so it's a White Knight Chronicles is what you're telling me. I bet you it's worse than White Knight Chronicles.
It's unique, yeah.
Which would probably make it better, honestly. Doesn't that game have like a crazy high encounter rate?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Final Fantasy IV also had a high encounter rate, so I'll put up with it.
Yep. All right, Josh, what are you playing this week?
Gonna try and finish Sakura Wars 2.
I am gonna try to finish Romagia this week because I really do want to spend some time in Ys 10.
Yeah, you'll have to. I'll be curious if you agree with us on that one.
How about you finish Romagia and play your freaking copy of Persona 3 Reload that's been sitting in a box for over a year?
I'm most of the way through the digital game.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. I was streaming it even.
Oh, I forgot. It's been so long. Hey, you know what you should do? You should play that newest Yakuza game and stream that and then get shot at by coffee Roombas again.
Yeah. That damn Roomba.
That sounds like a heck of a time.
I almost died in that encounter, even though I was over-leveled to it just because of how much freaking coffee was being shot at me.
Best clip in that whole collection.
All right. Thank you, dear listener, for letting us be insane in your ears for another week. Thank you to our special guest, Midi. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for having me once again.
Thank you, Midi. Where can people find Midi again? Plug him properly.
Community Game Along on Blue Sky, MDisc playlist on YouTube, Twitch, and Mastodon, if you use Mastodon.
No.
Only crazy people use Mastodon.
And I am a crazy person.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go.
I think all of us use Mastodon.
I don't.
Oh, you should.
No, I didn't. I found it to be confusing.
It's too complicated.
Oh, it is not. You just sign up just like Twitter. It's just the longer username than you're used to. Like, oh my gosh. It's literally the same thing.
You know what the best part of no longer being a social media coordinator is? I don't have to care about social media.
Then why do you doom scroll so much?
I don't.
You do.
I truly don't,
have to
Chris.
Take the phone away from you. Actually, it's true. All he does now is read novels.
Do not diss my smut.
I didn't say anything about what kind of novels they were. You did that.
Smut shaming, how dare.
I did not say anything about the content of the novels. Andy did that.
I also read lit RPGs.
Sure you do.
Basically choose your own adventure books?
No.
Lit RPGs are like, what if video game but book?
And this place is lit, so it's a party.
And that can come in a variety of structures. You can have people that literally go inside of a game and play it, sort of like Ready Player One.
I think the biggest series here is Dungeon Crawler Carl, right?
Right. And so like they are put inside of a game willingly or unwillingly. That's like one of the sort of forks of lit RPG. Other fork of lit RPG is there is clear game mechanics that are happening, but the characters either don't realize they're in a video game or that is just the way that their reality works. And then there is progression fantasy,
which is not a lit RPG. That's more of a Chinese. Where does that even come from?
Which is a type of lit RPG. They're not in a book. They're not in a game. And they don't have literal game mechanics, like there's no stat sheet, but they are clearly moving up and progressing through power levels like you would in a video game, just not with literal stats.
Sorry, I guess. Okay. And part of that genre includes the cultivation books, which are Zhanxia from Chinese literature.
Right.
So, yeah, go ahead. Anyway, so those are all fun, Kelly. You should get into them. It's nice. It's like
Alexa, stop.
It's like there's anime like this too, right? There's a lot of isekai progression fantasy anime type stuff. Like, so I'm a spider now. So what? Or that time I was reincarnated as a slime and stuff like that.
I've wanted to get into the Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Oh, you should.
Oh,
it's
good.
A great series.
Yeah. We like Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Yeah. I'm told it has a cat in it.
Yes.
Yes.
Princess.
Yes. Princess Donut is a cat in Dungeon Crawler Carl.
And it's great because until we were like partway through the third book, I had never seen a picture of Princess Donut. And the cat that I was picturing in my mind is not the cat that the author is like, yes, this looks exactly what I would imagine Princess Donut to be. Because Princess Donut is but ugly.
She's a torty Persian purebred.
Yes.
It's amazing. And anyway,
it's hideous.
Just go watch. Go read those. It's great. The audio books are
incredible. So good.
Yeah.
If you're going to read Dungeon Crawler Carl, highly recommend the audiobooks. You can get either the original narration or you can actually get like a dramatized.
That's only the first book
narration. Yeah. I believe it's the first three now.
Okay.
And so you have choices and none of them are wrong. Listen or read Dungeon Crawler Carl.
I mean, the cat being a fat torty, I've always joked that fat calico is one of my favorite genders.
Nice.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Del North, for our amazing music.
Yep.
Thank you, Forecast, for our encoding. Mm-hmm. Thank you to our completely insane listeners. How on earth do you do this every week?
And thank you to Scamper. Need an escape from real life.
Thank you to Scamper for being in the cat bed for the second half of the show.
And we will see everybody next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. See you later.